He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Hey, we've got a bounce going on here in the market after a pretty rough couple of weeks as interest rates continued to rise, sending P.E. ratios south. And the higher the P.E. on a stock, the more south it went. Well, here we have the Dow up 625 points so far this morning. We'll get into some of the details here in a bit, what is moving. That puts the Dow at 31,557, not an all-time high. It's bumping its head right here up against that resistance level. The S&P is up 69 points. That works out to 1.8%. That puts the S&P 500 at 3880. And the NASDAQ, which hit 14,000 several weeks ago, it's up 228. We're back to 13,421, but still about 600 points. As of Friday, that worked out to about a 6.5% correction so far in the NASDAQ. But you get into the, you know, the Teslas of the world, it's down 27.6% from the high. You get into Cathie Wood's ARK investments ETFs. They're down about 11 to 13%. So it depends, you know, this little correction that's come through the market. It's hit the higher PE stuff and a lot of the things that don't have earnings yet. Russell 2K is up 2.2% today, 22.48. Crude oil is up 14 cents to 61.64. Gold up $4.1732. The 10-year's come all the way back to 1.43. There's a huge reason why the market is up today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now, a show with Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Look at the 10-year all the way back to 1.43. We got as high as 1.60. on Friday, and that really had the market nervous. And in fact, one brokerage firm was calling that move in interest rates one of the greatest of all time as far as the magnitude and how quickly it came upon the bond market. And you got the stock market rallying. Now, I've kind of looked at a couple hundred charts here while I was preparing the show. I would just say that the underneath doesn't look as good as the surface of the market right now. It is a bounce. We'll take it. But, yeah, you know, I've looked at a lot of charts of leading stocks. And the high PE, the leading, the high growth stuff, it's a pretty minor little bounce. I haven't found anything yet that really excites me. But we'll take this bounce. What is Bitcoin doing today? Bitcoin is, it's always good to look at Bitcoin because it's an indicator of the risk assets. Holy cow, up $3,879 per coin. How many coins do you have in your piggy bank? Will they fit? $48,253 per coin. Bitcoin is up 8.9%. I think it's fair to say that risk on is back on, at least for today. Interest rates in Bitcoin seem to be kind of connected a little bit. When you see the big up days in interest rates, you see down days in Bitcoin and vice versa. Well, last week, we ended on kind of a sour note for the week. We did have the NASDAQ up on Friday, but the Dow was down 1.5% on Friday. We had a little divergence. Recently, it's been the Dow that has been outshining and outperforming the NASDAQ. Well, overall, the Dow has lower P.E. ratios than the NASDAQ, and I think that's kind of been the pattern here recently. We've seen rotation leaving some of the high PE stuff going into some of the lower PE stuff, and that's mostly being caused by higher interest rates, which causes multiple contraction. Now, if you look at the S&P 500, there's hardly not any correction at all, 1% maybe, 2% at the most. Then you go down into a little bit higher PE realm of the market, such as the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is down 6.5%, not counting today's move up, which is making that number a little smaller. But as of Friday, the NASDAQ had corrected by 6.5%. Now, you dig down a little more into the higher PE ratio type of stuff. We look at Cathie Wood's ARKK, which is her flagship ETF. That's got, you know, life science, robotics, battery storage, social media, the high flyers in the market. That thing has corrected by 16.7% so far. So you see these gradations. Now let's go one step further. Let's go into the genomics and biotech universe. Her ETF, ARKG, is down 19%. From its recent high. And then you get into some individual stocks. Tesla, well, it's back up to 700 today, but 200, that's a 20, it was down 26% as of Friday, down 26%. So as you can see, as you get out there further and further on the growth scale and on the PE ratio scale, that's where the rising interest rates have had the biggest effect, on the highest PE ratios in the stock. Now, the good news is, and I explained this in my newsletter over the weekend, you have a couple of components that make up valuation. You have the growth rate of a stock, you have the PE ratio, and you have earnings, okay? And while the PE has come back a little bit, the growth rates haven't come in. In fact, if anything, they've gone a little bit higher. And the earnings side of the equation has also gone a little bit higher. But the PE ratio has contracted more than the earnings estimates have gone higher. We're probably going to see some moderation here with this PE contraction and rising interest rates this week. We're starting off on a pretty good note here, with the 10-year dropping down to 1.42%. Let's see, what else? We got a lot to talk about here today. Treasury yields retreat. And, you know, the other thing I would say, this rising interest rate environment, it's been a global rising interest rate environment. If you look, you know, every week in our newsletter, we track Italy, their bond yields, I mean, they've been in the spotlight in the past. Italian bonds lead market down. You know, that's happened in the past. Spain's bonds are important to look at. Germany's bonds, which have been negative, are important to look at. And then we'd take a look at a few of the South American bonds, Brazil, for instance. And we've seen an upward drift around the world in interest rates as the world is starting to, the world markets, the global markets, are starting to fear, and I think that fear is well-founded, they're starting to fear inflation coming back into the picture, along with a recovering economy, the vaccine, hopefully, by early summer, you know, maybe we're back to somewhat normal with COVID. But you've also got the massive, enormous amounts of money that have been thrown at this whole COVID thing. And, of course, the House passed another $1.9 trillion. It hasn't gotten by the Senate yet on Friday. And that, you know, you can increase the supply of money out there and you drive down the value of your currency. And you drive up the value of commodities and hard assets, and you get inflation. So that's another dynamic that you're seeing that we have not seen in quite some time in the market. There's also some reports. I was reading this morning that the attention is not only on the $1.9 trillion White House bill, but now we have $1.6 trillion in excess savings that U.S. households have built up. Well, why is that a concern? Well, it shows that households are a little bit worried about what's to come down the road, maybe a little bit worried. Not all of these savings are forced, but households have built up precautionary buffers because they are uncertain about the economic outlook. Well, that's money not being spent in the economy. So go have some fun, doggone it. We'll try to have some when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and his Best Stocks Now. Welcome back here to the second quarter Best Stocks Now. The German bonds, 0.30, minus 0.30, minus 0.30. They were starting to move higher, but they're still negative. France's bonds are coming back a little bit with the rates. We got up to 1.61% last week, so we're down 21 basis points. That's pretty good. That's really helping the markets here. Today, I see Bank of America is out with their target price on GameStop. Well, I've been pretty generous with the $20 per share GameStop valuation. How close am I? Bank of America says it's worth $10 per share. Now, let's not forget it got up to $488 per share here. $483 was the top. Right now it's at $104.37. It's worth somewhere between $10 and $20. I say one of the most important things you can know about any stock that you buy or own or considering buying or selling is what it's worth. Well, GameStop, $10 according to Bank of America. I've got it at $20. And that's being very, very generous, currently trading at 107. Another reason the market's up today. You can thank Johnson & Johnson. No, they have not redesigned their Q-tips. No, they've got a new vaccine. Theirs was approved on Friday. So now we've got, I want to say, four vaccines out there. Johnson & Johnson's is a single-shot COVID-19 vaccine. So, you know, that's going to speed up the vaccination process, hopefully getting more and more normality back to our lives and to the system that's been so disrupted by the COVID virus. So today you've got interest rates falling. We're down 20 basis points from the high that we set, I think, about midday on Friday. We've got the $1.9 trillion stimulus package that was passed after the market closed on Friday, and we've got another vaccine out there, Johnson & Johnson, which will speed up the vaccination process. Right now the Dow's up 659. I'm just looking, though, at stocks underneath the surface of the market. And it doesn't look as good underneath the surface. I hate to tell you, I've been down there with my mask on and snorkel. Got a little seaweed here on this arm. We'll get that off. It just doesn't look as good underneath the surface. AstraZeneca selling their Moderna stake for more than $1 billion. Well, there's some question about Moderna as to whether or not they have anything behind the COVID vaccine. Is it a one-trick pony? I know Jim Cramer last week was talking about them having and working on, not having, but working on a cancer vaccine. A cancer vaccine. AstraZeneca must not think too much about the cancer vaccine. They sold their 7.7% stake in Moderna for more than $1 billion. Okay, the tech stocks. Well, you know, they're the most vulnerable. They were definitely the most vulnerable. As we started the new year, even as we ended last year, we definitely saw a move away from the FANG stocks. You saw all of those stocks, except for maybe Apple, start to go sideways. Then they had a little rally as we started the new year, and then they cooled off again, and the big tech stocks started going sideways. And there was sector rotation taking place. Money was leaving the tech sector, and it was moving into Deer, Caterpillar, Freeport, MacMoran, different types of stocks than we've seen leading the market in the past. And I would say that that trend continues. And I have been saying for quite some time that this is going to be a different kind of year than we've seen in the past couple of years. In the past couple of years, you could pretty much name your large mega-cap tech stock, whether it was Tesla, whether it was Apple, whether it was Amazon, whether it was Netflix, and hit a winner. But that's not so true anymore. You know, the market rotates from time to time, and we're seeing that rotation right now. It's really showing up in the sector rankings of my Best Stocks Now app. So that's really important. It's really important to stay on top of where the sector rotation is taking place. Okay, let's see here. Last week, pretty good indication of where that sector rotation is happening. Your best performing ETFs last week. And your worst performing ETFs, well, you've got the biotech ETF, bull or bear three times, down 21%. Well, as the high PE, as the interest rates go up and the high PE ratios start to get hit, even before the high PE ratios get hit, you see the companies without earnings, such as the biotechs, the genomics, I just gave an example of how much Kathy Wood's genomics biotech/genomics ETF is down 19% during this correction. So that's been the hardest hit sector. I'm not really seeing much of a bounce there this week. And I would say another pretty hard hit sector has been the Chinese stocks, especially the smaller ones that have been so speculative. There's been so many big speculative moves. They're treating a lot of these small Chinese stocks like they're Bitcoin stocks or, you know, some of the small there's just a lot of speculation out there right now. But I'm seeing a pretty nice recovery today in the large Chinese stocks. But it is true, we thought maybe that President Biden would be a little bit easier on China. So far, that hasn't been the case. The Biden administration intends to go forward with the rule allowing the Commerce Department to ban technology-related business that could pose national security risk. Well, that's the Huawei's of the world and China Telecom and the Chinese oil company, CNOOC, and some of these others that have been also reported to be spy agencies. So Biden keeping up the pressure on China, and that comes as a little bit of a surprise. Digital wallet payments overtake cash for in-store purchases in 2020. Well, that shouldn't be any surprise. In the year of the pandemic, consumers are pulling out their digital wallets. My digital wallet is just as empty as my real one. I'm just kidding. Digital wallets more often than they are physical wallets when they pay in store, according to a FIS study. Cash usage continues to drop. And when's the last time you pulled out quarters and dimes and nickels to pay for something? Didn't just swipe your card? Are we headed towards a cashless society? Well, it seems like we are, with all its ramifications. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now. Let's just look at Bitcoin here for a minute. That's fun to look at. I own just a little bit in that Bitcoin. It's up $4,493 per ounce, or per coin, rather. I don't think there's any Bitcoin that we're mining it somewhere, but not out of the ground. Bitcoin up 10.1% today. MicroStrategy is the tech stock that now has, they have 19,452. Oh, they bought 19,452 more coins for $1.1 billion last week. The company now holds 90,000 bitcoins purchased for a total of $2.18 billion, or an average price of $24,000 per coin. It seems like MicroStrategy is making more money off their Bitcoin in the bank than they are off their business. MicroStrategy is now a $7.5 billion company that has $2 billion in Bitcoin in the bank. You've also got, Tesla has been buying. Last I heard, he had $1 billion in Bitcoin in the bank. So we look at these proxy stocks when Bitcoin makes its big move. Well, we've got another SPAC going public today, Rocket Lab. That's right, it's a small launch provider. That's right, a space launch provider. It has some backing from Lockheed Martin. Let's see how this one's doing. Now, these are the kind of stocks that are way over there on the speculative side. But you know what? I mean, in this kind of a marketplace, look what this stock is doing today. VACQ did not have a business as of last Friday, but they had a checkbook, and they had a pen, and they had a CEO ready to write a check. Well, he did it today for $4.1 billion, it looks like, buying Rocket Lab USA. Rocket Lab USA. The symbol is VACQ. That's one of the big movers of the day. The stock up 27.4%. One hedge fund manager, and I would add my 2 cents to this, the SPAC party may come to an end soon. You know, I've seen a lot of these SPACs that just went crazy, and almost all of them are coming back to earth right now. Eventually, valuation matters. The SPAC frenzy that has swept the market may be abruptly coming to an end, potentially in the next few weeks, according to a hedge fund manager. There is an ETF that tracks these SPACs. I've been talking about the different gradations of sell-off. The higher the risk in the stocks you own, or the ETFs or mutual funds you own, the more has been the sell-off as interest rates have increased. The SPAC ETF is off 13% over the last week, showing signs of trouble in SPAC land. I'd be real careful with those SPACs. There's been a few that have real businesses and look good. I mean, look at the one Churchill that ended up buying the Lucid Motors electric car company. That thing went up to $62 per share on the rumor that it was buying Lucid Motors, and now it's been cut in half in just 3 days. 3 days, Churchill Capital, CCIV, has gone from 62 to 31. Did anything change? No, they went ahead. They bought the company everybody thought they were going to buy. And now the stock is getting cut in half from $16 billion down to $8 billion. That's a lot of billions that disappeared. Okay, another recent one was Switchback Energy Acquisition. Switchback Energy Acquisition owns ChargePoint. So there's a lot of sex appeal there. You know, they make the chargers, the ChargePoint, which is one of the brand names out there, and charging electric vehicles. Well, that thing has had a big comeuppance here, big sell-off here recently in SBE, which is ChargePoint Chargers. Electric truck maker Workhorse, it's had its difficulties recently, more on news than speculation, but there was a lot of speculation built into that stock. Workhorse makes high-performance, medium-duty trucks. Now, if that was just a normal company, it would have a P.E. ratio of about 8 or 9, maybe 10. But this Loveland, Ohio, makes electric, all-electric high-performance, medium-duty trucks under the Workhorse chassis brand. Well, they missed out on a big contract coming from the U.S. Postal Service last week. That stock got cut from 43 down to 16. And Kathy Wood reporting that she is buying more. She bought more last week after the Postal Service news. Who got that contract? Oshkosh, out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Here's another way to play the electric vehicle sector, if you care to do so. Travel at your own risk. Polaris unveils a plan to launch all-new, full-size electric Rangers in early 2022. Well, that's a big utility truck, like a Jeep. You know, it's more of an off-road vehicle, but they will produce a full-size Ranger electric vehicle developed through their power sports industry exclusive partnership with Zero Motorcycles, which the two companies announced last September. Well, Polaris has been a good stock without electric vehicles. And now with this announcement, they're getting quite a boost. Maybe they'll get a more glamorous multiple. You see, right now their multiple is 15. Why? Because before today, they were not an electric vehicle company. They make, snowmobiles and off-road, all-vehicle, all-terrain type of vehicle, ATVs, etc. Little things for deer hunters, stuff like that. Now they're going to make an electric version. So the stock is up 6% today. Maybe you'll see multiple expansion there, PII. That one's out of Minnesota. And possibly another way to get exposure to the EV sector, the red-hot EV sector, without paying 300 times earnings for Tesla. Instead, you're paying 15 times earnings for Polaris. And then there's another one, Gentherm. They actually make original parts for trucks and automobiles. This one has always been a good stock. They now are making parts, and the CEO, they report earnings that beat by 43 cents. Here's what the CEO said. While we expect continued market uncertainties in 2021, the momentum, ooh, we like that word, momentum, in the top line, expanding demand for our new technologies. Now, here's the money line, especially in the EV market, coupled with our strong win rate of new awards, we are positioned well to continue to deliver significant shareholder value over the long term. What's the symbol, you say? THRM, Gentherm. They've been around for quite some time. They're a small cap company, $2.4 billion. You've got a P.E. ratio of 31, nowhere near the 320 that Tesla trades at. You got a beautiful chart, stock breaking out to a new all-time high. You've got a terrific earnings report. And Gentherm, let's just take a look at it in the app. I know it's been moving up considerably here recently, and I have it on my watch list. Gentherm is currently ranked number 570 out of 5,635. It's entered into that upper echelon, B-plus or better. Momentum grade of A. Keep your eye on Gentherm, THRM, just another way to play the electric vehicle market. Now, one thing that's holding back the EV sector, DRAM market, semiconductors. There's a shortage. Who's one of the biggest players in that market? Micron, MU. There's a new TrendForce report out that says Micron is set for explosive growth in the DRAM and the auto semiconductor market, where there's a great shortage right now. When we come back, we're going to put Micron under the microscope. This is Bill Gunderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. And let's just take a look here. The average DRAM content in vehicles will surpass 30% compound average growth in the next 3 years, according to a new TrendForce report. Automotive memory accounted for less than 2% of total DRAM consumption, but the high margin space is growing more competitive due to the explosive demand. This space is dominated by Micron. So I dug in a little bit into Micron, which holds about 50% of the global automotive memory market. And I raised my growth rate on Micron. The problem I've always had with Micron in the past is it never really met my 50 or 80% or more upside potential from a valuation point of view over the next 5 years. But with this current situation in the automotive market, I raised my growth 5 year growth rate a little bit, and now Micron does meet my 5 year target or my 5 year minimum of 80% or more upside potential. In addition to that, the stock's got some pretty good momentum right now. A plus momentum. It's hitting a new all-time high today. Do you like stocks hitting new all-time highs? Well, it's been hitting a new all-time high here for quite some time, but the valuation would suggest that it has quite a bit further to go. Their most recent two quarters at Micron, MU, headquartered in Boise, Idaho, the tech capital of the world, Micron was up 60, their earnings were up 63% in their quarter that was just reported. And the quarter before that, their earnings were up 93%. And over the last 5 years, their earnings have been up 44% per year. That is some torrid growth. Now, going forward, I had it at about 14, 13%, but I'm taking it up to 18%. And that makes all the numbers look a whole lot better. Now, Micron's going to have to achieve that kind of growth, but I think they can, given this environment that we're currently in with the big boom in the automobile sector, along with a shortage in the semiconductor, particularly the DRAM piece of the puzzle that Micron dominates, 50% market share. I'm looking at Micron. Now, Micron is not a small company, nor is it a company that pays a dividend. It's a pure large-cap growth stock. The market capitalization is $105 billion. Pretty good. I mean, a company that was in part founded by a potato grower in Idaho, J.R. Simplot. Now he part of a company that is worth $105 billion. Not too bad. The stock is hitting a new all-time high, so we'll also keep our eye on Micron, MU, going forward, along with the ones I mentioned. And then I'm going to mention one more here. I've got a couple of choices here. Let's take a look here. I'm going to mention Baidu. I didn't realize that Kathy Woods, that's one of her biggest holdings. Baidu is also kind of switching gears a little bit, becoming more of a an electric vehicle stock, but it's also a very well-diversified technology company. It's the same size as Micron. It's $100 billion. They do a lot of online advertising, such as the trade desks, etc. They do a lot of internet content, a little bit like Google, I suppose you could say. They've been growing by 12% per year over the last 5 years. But with this addition and with this focus now kind of turning to the electric vehicle market, I think Baidu's growth rate is also going to increase. Let's just take a look if they meet my valuation target price right now, BIDU. Yes, 83.4% upside potential over the next 5 years. Their growth rate's expected to be about 15% per year. So the stock is not all that expensive, 1.6 PEG ratio. And it, too,'s got some real momentum going on right now. You see, I like the valuation and momentum in the same place. The valuation part of the equation is getting harder and harder to find in this current market. The momentum is still there, although a lot of the momentum starting to drain out of some of these really high-growth stocks. But Baidu currently meets my momentum. It's up 138% over the last 12 months, and it's still got 83% upside potential over the next 5 years. It's currently ranked number 399 out of 5,635. You got pretty good company, too. It's one of the bigger holdings at ARK Investments. And it's not one of the more expensive nosebleed-type stocks with the PEG ratio of 1.6. So there you go. There's some to keep your eye on. And even though we've seen some spiking interest rates here and we've seen a little bit of the air taken out of the speculative bubble that's been building, earnings remain good. There's more stimulus coming into the market. You've got bond rates starting to moderate a little bit, interest rates starting to moderate a little bit. So it could be a pretty interesting week. I should be pretty busy, pretty active this week. So if you're watching me on through one of my subscription services or if you're a client, we could look forward to a little bit of action here this week. All right. Well, I published the newsletter over the weekend, as I do every weekend. I updated the portfolios. You can see I made just a few changes. Maybe lowering the overall forward P.E. ratio of my portfolios at the current time, taking a little bit of risk and taking some big profits off the table. But while one door closes, other doors open. And I just went through several possibilities here today with you. So anyways, get the newsletter, check it out, GundersonCapital.com. This is not a time to be passive. There's big changes taking place in the market. Set up an appointment with one of my advisors at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.